live. It's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Cause every minute, every hour, you'll be shaken by the strange
and mighty power. It didn't take long for the Kyrie Irving situation to find its endpoint. I think it was Friday. News came out that Kyrie had requested a trade. There were some rumblings, and we talked about it on Friday, where he could end up. And then yesterday, news breaks that he's on his way to Dallas. Kind of shocking how fast this all came together. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about what the Mavericks gave up. We'll also talk about the two teams in particular that I thought were legit running squads, had actual chances of landing Kyrie. Joining us right now, we have James Holas, half of the Dunktales pod, joins us every Monday. James, always a pleasure to get you on, and this is fun news. Kyrie Irving, first big name on the move.
First, and you know, probably not the last. Going to start off a whole chain reaction soon, but yeah, I'm pretty surprised. We talked about it a little bit offline. It's the Lakers seemed like they thought they had this in the bag, and obviously it jumped out of the bag. I don't know if Dallas necessarily got better with this move.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I also think looking at the long-term ramifications of it, okay, so you give up Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, you give up a second-round pick in 2027, first-round pick in 2029, unprotected, who cares? Second-round pick in 2029, who cares? I don't know if they got better. They definitely took a hit as far as depth is concerned. And I also look at what they gave up here, James, and saying, look, if Kyrie doesn't if he doesn't sign long-term, is this just a nod to Luka saying, hey, look, if you want a running mate, we'll get you a running mate. We're going to do what it takes to keep you here and make you happy. I don't know. Like, if Kyrie does not sign long-term, they gave up two pretty polished players that could help this team in the immediate future.
Yeah, but they also gave themselves flexibility, because if he didn't sign long-term, the Dallas Mavericks have a pretty easy pivot to making max cap space with
Fair.
The money that, those guys going out will leave. So I can see what Dallas is doing. It's a very high reward move, and sure, there's risk involved, but Luka's under contract until 2027, where he has, I think, player options, so they got time. They did bring in a top 15, top 20 type guy. Like, this is what people have been wanting Dallas to do. They took the shot to do it. And I guess if they're success, they're hoping on, hey, look, man, Kyrie, look, we're winning. We can do this. Come sign with this long term. I see why Dallas did it. I can see that Joe Tsai and the Nets, they made it, you know, it seemed like they made a conscious decision. Like, look, we're not going to be screwing around with this forever. And you know, they offered Kyrie that deal. They had some kind of championship stipulations in the deal. Kyrie got offended. There's no time, no point about wasting time and messing around with it. They made a quick, decisive move. Keep it as bloodless as possible. I respect it.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked that Kyrie was a net as long as he truly was. I mean, when you take a look at this, this big three, right? It's Kyrie, Kevin Durant, James Harden. That was the big three just 2 years ago. We're looking at this team saying this is one of the more interesting lineups in the NBA. It was a massive, massive flop. And James, I think that this is a true testament to where the NBA is today, because there was a cute 5-6 year span where that's all teams wanted. You could put together a big three. I think going back to Boston in 2008 is really where we saw this start, right? You had KG, you had Paul Pierce, you had Ray Allen, and then it seemed like it was kind of the era of big threes. We're done with that era now. I mean, that's not the ingredients, not the recipe to win championships with anymore, and Brooklyn is proof of that.
Well, I think so. Here's the thing, though: when they were all three on the court, that's Harden, KD, and Kyrie. They looked almost unbeatable. They looked like that was a championship roster. The issue, of course, is that yes, in the last 13 months, Harden and then KD last summer, and now Kyrie Harden, KD last summer, Kyrie last summer, and then Kyrie again have all asked for trades. So you got to kind of look at with a side eye what's going on in Brooklyn. Secondly, you said something about, you know, you're surprised he was a net this long. Was he really a net?
But yeah, it's true.
He's been a little snarky.
Yeah. yeah, that's a good point, man. I like it. Yeah, that's a fair point. Was he really? Yeah.
Honestly, because he seemed like it was more about he was on Team Kyrie than the Nets. But the max contract makes it so prohibitive now, right? That the max contract is such a huge chunk. If you get three guys on a max deal, that's $150 million already right there. But the salary cap's only, what, 139 or whatever, and the apron's at like 145, 150. That's ridiculous. So it's really hard to do these days. And yeah, you get Eagles involved. You get these guys aren't just players; they're brands, and you get other things involved, and you see what happens, man.
No question. No, there's no question about it. Now, while Dallas landed Kyrie, there were two other teams, both in the Western Conference, that I thought had a legitimate chance of getting him. One, the Los Angeles Lakers, two, the Phoenix Suns. And I think that this is two completely different stories to talk about. Let's start with the Lakers. I'm not overly upset that the Lakers missed out on Kyrie. I believe that there's still players out there that they can go get and improve this roster drastically. I guess I am a little bit... It's a head-scratching deal for me to say, okay, you have LeBron James who's playing at an elite level. When Anthony Davis is healthy, he's playing at an elite level. I mean, he was historical at one point in time this season during like a 10-game stretch. I know there's a lot of what-ifs there, right? Age, injuries, this is what's hampered this team. But if the only thing preventing you from getting Kyrie Irving for the now, James, is Max Christie, Austin Reeves, and including two draft picks with kids who are like in junior high right now, I don't quite understand why the organization wouldn't make that move. I also believe that the other layer to this story is the fact that Brooklyn didn't want to send Kyrie to L.A. because that was his preferred destination.
100%, that's a personal thing where, and I get it. Look, player empowerment is real. It's here to stay, and I respect it. I love it. I love that players have with power. At the same time, as a franchise, you know, just because a player demands a trade, he doesn't get to tell you where he's going if he doesn't have no trade clause or whatever. So I respect the fact that I think it's a pretty good deal. They got two starter-level guys, and they got some future juicy picks. So that was a pretty decent deal. And it just shows you how insanely they overpaid for Rudy Gobert in Minnesota. I thought the Lakers were almost a done deal also, especially when we saw the video clips of all them talking to Kyrie after the game and that one game in Brooklyn. I don't feel bad for the Lakers as a Celtics fan, but as a basketball fan, I can commiserate because you have Anthony Davis who is, you know, his prime is winding down with the injuries. LeBron James absolutely in his, you know, he has that as well as he's playing, that clock is ticking. You got to take these shots when you can. And Kyrie Irving, as much as I don't like the guy, as far as, you know, all the off-court nonsense and the distractions he provides, on the court, he solved a lot of problems for the Lakers. And the fact that they didn't just get that done, Austin Reeves, nice young player, good rotation guy, you can find a million of him. Same thing with the Christie kid. So, yeah, if that was the holdup, that's kind of troubling.
Yeah, no question. No question. Now, on the flip side, we have the Phoenix Suns. Rumor came out that they floated Chris Paul. And I think this adds, again, just another storyline to the next 72 hours. This shouldn't surprise anyone, James. You and I talked about Chris Paul last week. I think we both were on the same page. He was a legitimate trade candidate. And if you're Phoenix, yeah, why would you not try to upgrade right now if you could move off of that Chris Paul deal? I don't view this as a slight. I don't view this as a distraction for Phoenix because, in my mind, this wasn't a surprise. I mean, this guy's on the block. There's no question.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris Paul has bounced around a lot the last few years. I'm sure he didn't take it personally either. And we all can see it. Chris Paul, as great as he once was, is not who he used to be. The feeling is that he kind of grates on teammates after about two or three seasons, and here we are in year three of that experiment, I think, right? And, he just doesn't have the same impact as he once did, and he physically isn't what he once was. Kyrie and Devin Booker in the backcourt is terrifying for defenses. You know, that would have definitely solved some problems there, too, because they seem to have some chemistry and other issues going on in Phoenix. Now, that's the other thing, though, with Los Angeles and with Phoenix, right? We all know Kyrie is his own kind of cat. Does he what he provides on the floor is great. How is he affecting that locker room? And I think Phoenix already might have enough issues in that locker room. That's been kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's a team that you and I, again, we've talked about it both on air and off air. There's just a lot of issues, to say the least, going on with Phoenix. I know some of them are winding down with Sarver having his involvement and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a toxic situation to begin with. With that being said, first big name now gone. James, who do you believe is next? Do you have a name out there that you think gets moved sooner rather than later in the next 72 hours?
Honestly, I wouldn't be super shocked if Kevin Durant was moved. Just look, the writing's kind of on the wall there too. They're trying to keep him happy with star level guys, but that's been a serious talent drain over there. And you know, there's been a lot going on there. He requested a trade last summer. He might want a fresh start. OG Anunoby seems like a big one that, you know, a lot of teams would, any team would kill to have a guy like OG with his skill set. And you know, there seems to be a little unsettling stuff going on there in Toronto as far as OG Anunoby. You hear Gary Trent's name, even Pascal Siakam. You hear Fred VanVleet's name. So there's a good chance at least two of those guys in Toronto's moved.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet to me would be a tremendous get, depending on the asking price, of course. But for me, I look at teams that are looking for some shooting help, some teams that are looking for some backcourt help. I think Fred VanVleet could be exactly what the doctor ordered. To me, this is one of the better names. I think this is one of the more interesting names in my mind over the next 3 days. Let's see where VanVleet ends up.
For sure. Look, we saw what Brunson did. You know, it's not always about size. He's a smaller guard, but VanVleet, even though he's having a down year this year because he's being asked to play a more complementary role than he maybe is used to, yeah, you get him on a team. You know, he's rejuvenated. He can shoot. He can score. He's tough. Yeah, he can definitely help a team. Now, let's see what contender is willing to give up quality assets to get him on the squad.
Again, James Hollis, our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball. 72 hours away from the trade deadline. One name already gone. It's Kyrie Irving. He's got a new home in Dallas. James, outside of the trade deadline, and I think that maybe sometimes we overlook this leading up to it because we get so wrapped up in the potential deals that could be made. But I also think that years past, it's proven teams can make some hay come buyout market time, and that's exactly what this is. For instance, we'll take a look at the Lakers. If they make a move, most certainly Russell Westbrook will be involved in that deal. Now, he's got this massive contract, part of the reason why the Lakers are going to have to eat salary to bring someone back in. However, he would instantly become one of the top names on the buyout market, and I do believe he could help some teams, right? Buyout market is very, very important around this time of the year, and I don't think we really start paying attention to it until after the deadline.
Ooh, buddies. You know what? Westbrook is such a captivating player because what good team is he helping at the buyout market? That's what's so weird about him because the numbers still look decent. He still has this cachet. Russell Westbrook has been, at the very least, a neutral player in Los Angeles and has been a detriment in a lot of games. So it's one of these things where, and I know you know this as a smart fan, but like the name and people immediately kind of reflect, think, oh, he can help a team. What team can really be helped by Russell Westbrook right now? Let's say Dallas Mavericks buy out a guy like Morris. I think it was Mark Keith they got.
It was Mark Keith. Yep, they got Keith, yep.
So Keith could probably help somebody, the rotation guy. He wasn't great in Brooklyn. That's where the tough part comes with the buyout market. It's almost like going to TJ Maxx and picking through because there's going to be a lot of stuff there, something valuable, but you got to kind of dig through and really kind of find the gems.
Okay, let me throw a couple of names out there to you. Buyout market guys. Let's throw out Russell Westbrook. We've already talked about him. Let me think off the top of my head. Let's throw Serge Ibaka out there. What does he have left in the tank, right? Because, again, it's another big name. And I'll throw John Wall out there. I think those are three guys that are well past their prime, big names. Fans can get excited about them adding, you know, their team adding them to the roster. Out of those three, which would you look at to have the most value over the final 3-4 months of the season?
No, I'm going to say Serge. Serge has been very gently used over the last year and a half. He just wasn't in part of the rotation there in Milwaukee. I think he was very disenchanted with his role. I think he can probably do more than he was asked. And I would love to see Serge go to Boston as our backup big. Serge can help. John Wall, again, I think in a spot on even a quality team, just having to come off the bench for 10, 15 minutes would be a definite upgrade. But my issue with John Wall from watching him with the Clippers, I don't know if he's ever going to really just latch onto that role because I think in his head he's still thinking, I lost my spot due to injury. I still got a lot of athleticism left. I deserve a bigger role and chance. You can see that sometimes with the Clippers, which is why he might get bought out. He kind of breaks the offense and he's playing in his own world kind of. So that one's a little tough. I definitely think Serge can probably help a team that needs a big.
We'll end with this. We got to get some Utah Jazz talk in. The Jazz should be active around the deadline. We've heard all kinds of rumors coming out here in the state of Utah. I do believe the Jazz will make a trade. I'm not quite sure what they get in return. I don't really even know what Danny Ainge is looking for at this point in time. We know that they have a million draft picks. We know that this is a team that's going to hover anywhere from 7 to 10, I think, in the Western Conference down the final few months of the season. Great surprise, great story, yet at the same time, they would be foolish to not be active over the next 72 hours based off of the long-term projections of this franchise. What would you do if you were Danny Ainge over the next 72 hours?
That's what's so tough, because like, it's such a definitive pivot, right? Right now we know that the Jazz are kind of straddling that line after that really strong start. They've petered off some, and you know, I don't think anyone thinks they're world beaters right now. So either you pivot and you just start, you know, the Jazz have a lot of players, like as we talked about, that could be really valuable to other teams that other teams should be willing to give up some first round draft picks for. Vanderbilt. They just have the small forward's name? Malik Beasley.
Beasley, yeah.
Yeah, so they have guys that I think could really help other teams if they can get the, you know, Ainge is going to stand hard in his asking price. So, if I were them, I would do the pivot and I would start, you know, the chances of five games in the first round are not as valuable as more picks and what you can maybe get in this lottery.
Okay, let me throw this trade scenario out there to you. If you're the Los Angeles Lakers and the Utah Jazz, who wins on this deal? Russell Westbrook, couple of picks, Mike Conley, Malik Beasley. Is that enough to put the Lakers over the top, at least put them in the top four or five conversation in the Western Conference?
Not over the yes. I would say it makes them at least, it provides depth, it provides shooting, leadership on the court. Conley would be a great point guard to play off of LeBron James. He would be an amazing pickup, can hit open threes. And then Beasley is a microwave scoring, either off the bench or, you know, even in the starting lineup. That would definitely improve that team a lot. And, yeah, I hate to say it, Westbrook is almost addition by subtraction, not because of the production's been okay, but I know there's so much weird energy around the team with him coming off the bench now.
When you look at what the Jazz have, James, I believe Utah can make a couple of teams pretty damn good before the deadline.
Say again?
I believe the Jazz could make a few teams pretty good before the deadline.
100%. Yeah, you said it. Conley, Beasley, Vanderbilt's still there, right?
Vanderbilt. I mean, yeah, you know what? Don't throw out the idea of Jordan Clarkson either. He hasn't signed a long-term deal.
Clarkson. I know Clarkson is really beloved by the owner and from right here, right? And so he might be one of those kind of tentpole guys just because of being a franchise touchstone. But, yeah, Clarkson really could probably get a nice little haul. The only thing is, like you said, without a contract, you know, they don't know if he's guaranteed to stay. But 100%.
James Holis, again, half of the Dunk Tales pod. James, before I let you go, let us know where they can find more of your work, specifically on Twitter, where you're very active, especially around this time of the year, bouncing things off of fans. I love it.
Honestly, I'm almost like out the pasture now, man. My time has come and gone with the whole Temecula thing, and now I'm just in the shallow waters, just watching and kicking my feet. But you can find me at Snotty Drippin'. Me and my co-host JP, we do the Dunk Tales pod. We're actually going to record tonight, talk a little bit about Kyrie. And some other nonsense probably. So yeah, check us out.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with just dipping your toes in the water. Anyone that's been involved with this for a long period of time knows that sometimes, James, it can be a bit overwhelming. There's no question.
No, I used to be somebody, man. I used to be somebody.
Nah, you're still somebody. What are you talking about? That's why we have you every Monday.
Oh, man, as always, appreciate you.
Always great to get James on. Again, NBA trade deadline popping up on Thursday. Out of time on this edition of the show. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Until then, be safe. We are out.